Galatians. This is our third installment dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll get near to the end of the chapter 5 of Galatians today. I really kind of enjoyed matching the 17 works of the flesh with the 9 fruit of the Spirit and seeing how the one disannuls the other. And love opposed to hatred, and joy opposed to emulations and envy and the rest of it. I think that's a fun little graphic, a fun little thing to have. And knowing that there is this business of the fruit of the Spirit, and that the fruit of the Spirit is opposed to the works of the flesh, then Paul goes on to say, against such there is no law. And I'm going to extrapolate from my 1611 Bible, 1769 Bible, to 2011, and say, when I've got them laws which are contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, those are laws that should not stand, laws that should not be in place. So if I am then institutionalizing that which is ungodly, I've got a bad institution on my hands. I think the United States of America has institutionalized quite a number of ungodly things, which now, if you speak against them, you're the un-American. Mm-hmm. When you say that homosexuality is not an alternate lifestyle, it's a method of suicide. Mm-hmm. You shorten your life. There's no actuarial table you can read that would not expose that homosexuality is a life shortener. So, things contrary to that which would be right, the product of the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can evaluate laws there. And we can evaluate what's going on around us with something that isn't morally relative. We have something upon which we can stand fast. The fruit of the Spirit, those 9 items, should never be condemned by any law. And neither should the works of the flesh be condoned by any law. Works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, don't ask, don't tell. It's now condoned. And these sorts of things are where the liberal elite would lead us into that direction. So the contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, they're better than the latest Zogby poll, the latest Gallup poll, for being able to evaluate what is going on. I look at the polls and think of them as when you put your finger and stick it in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. Mm-hmm. Because it is a very short-term measurement. You let one headline go viral on the internet, and you can swing a poll overnight. You can swing a poll by how you word a question. So I'm interested in a longer view, and I can evaluate effectively knowing what the works of the flesh are and knowing what the fruit of the Spirit are. It's perhaps that simple when you compare the political viewpoints, the educational viewpoints that are out there. It's one, it's all human, and whatever you want to do, do it, and that kind of thing, and the other has constraints. So there are those lines drawn in our society. Yes, I am often considered to be rather cynical, maybe even pessimistic. I like to think that I'm realistic and you're a Pollyanna. But I think you could run Adolf Hitler against Mother Teresa and it would come out 48-48.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There'd be 4% on the side. I mean, folks are so uneducated, you could run just about anybody against anybody. And we've made up our minds. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with the information. It's, how can you run for office a man who was, he was locked up in South Carolina, and he gets on the ballot. I mean,
yes.
Is that troublesome to anybody? Mm-hmm. And he gets out. He may have been one of the best candidates, but...
Well, a welfare fraud made it.
Yes, Maxine...
Foster.
In Chicagoland. Mm-hmm. Home of good, honest politics. We all know that. Yes. Well, against such there is no law. We live in an ungodly society. And I'm sorry it's that way, but I know from Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, suppress an evil world. I know from Ephesians 5:16, the days are evil. And I know from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, that the devil is the god of this world. Verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Affections and lusts. The flesh. The works of the flesh. The verse says, we, they that are Christ's, have crucified the flesh. People like to say they love the Lord. They like to quote, I like to quote Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. This verse isn't about that. Judicially, I'm crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. Actuarially, I need to crucify my flesh. Mm-hmm. Judicially, I'm complete in Christ. I'm still down here walking. Mm-hmm. So, the crucifixion that is the subject of this verse is self-inflicted. That presents a humongous problem. Because if you can picture yourself standing at a cross, you've got three nails and a hammer. Yeah. A hammer your feet. A hammer one arm. Now what? Yeah. Got a hammer and a nail and a loose arm. It's a hard thing to reckon yourself indeed dead unto sin. Because your flesh is still hanging there, waving a hammer at the world. Mm-hmm. In Titus, in chapter 2, in verse 14, speaking of Christ who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I love the fact that the word zealous is there. Mm-hmm. It's not moderate about good works. It's not temperate about good works. It's not ambivalent about good works. It's not, I like people to do good works, I watch them.
Yeah.
I says, oh, work fascinates me. I can watch it all day long. It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's personal zealotry.
Yes.
We today live in a society where you can't be zealous about anything other than maybe the Steelers or the Packers. Mm-hmm. To be zealous about your King James Bible, to be zealous about Christ having died for your sins. Oh, it offends so many people. Mm-hmm. Yes, that turns out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Yes.
You press on.
Amen.
And so, we need to understand the zeal that comes from being who we are in Christ, knowing that we're in a battle, knowing that we're in a war. In Romans chapter 6, we see we're buried with him by baptism into death. We're reckoned dead. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, verse 4, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should. Should being the operative word. I should. Do I? Well, that's up to my zeal, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's up to how much I care, isn't it? We should walk in newness of life. For if we've been in the plan of the other, the likeness of death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this. Isn't it wonderful to know that he's God and couldn't die?
Yes.
But he did.
Yes.
The wages of sin are death. He didn't have such wages. He accepted mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was my payday for sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He took it in my place.
Yes. Wow.
For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we also live with him. I'm free from sin. I don't have to. My problem is I have this desire, this want to. As an unsaved man, my want to was broken. It was all about the works of the flesh. As a saved man, my want to needs to get fixed. And I need to want to be zealous of good works rather than zealous of everything else.
Yes.
I love Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. One time many years ago, I made a trip to the thrift store right up here on Linden Avenue and got myself a suit that I didn't care about one way or the other, and I had like $8 invested in it, kind of like this one. And when I taught these verses, I took off my suit coat, and I'm tearing the arms off of it, and tearing the lapel off of it, and tearing the buttons off of it, and tearing the pockets. I was putting off the old man and putting on the new. It's something that I have to do.
Yes.
I have to be proactive about it. Now, obviously, I had done that illustration under the leading of the Lord. Because I went back to the thrift store and bought myself a suit for $8. And when I got it home, inside this pocket was a church envelope with a $10 bill in it. No name on the church, no name of who gave the money. It was just a blank envelope. And it said, you know, my offering for the week was one of those standard offerings, number 8301. Remember, with the folded hands? And it had a $10 bill in it. So I bought an $8 suit and made $2 on it. Having destroyed one in service to the Lord. Could I make up a story and make that sound like something it wasn't? But that's the currency of preaching. That'll be in a book somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I need to put on the new man, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. That's me.
Yes.
That's something I must do. So I have to make choices that line up with that. I'm going to tell you that the first choice that will serve you better than any other that you could make is investing time in this book.
Yes.
Please turn to Romans chapter 16. Investing time in this book. We are people of a book. Christianity is a product of a book. Not the way it's practiced anymore. They don't need a book. Obviously, when you've got the Heritage Foundation wanting to sue people so that they put Christ back in Christmas when he was never there in the first place, obviously we're not much in the way of students anymore. In Romans chapter 16, Paul says in verse 25, "Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel." See it? I need to learn Pauline doctrine dealing with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as payment for sins, the new life in Christ Jesus, what happens as a product of, there's square one.
Yes.
I need to get that.
Yes.
My gospel. What's next? The preaching of Christ. So I'm going to learn about my Savior in his earthly ministry, about my Messiah. And then I'm going to learn that, put an asterisk here, according to the mystery. See it there in the passage? My Christ was not invented in Acts chapter 9 by the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
He's the Christ according to the Scriptures.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He says it twice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses.
Yes.
So, I'm knowledgeable about him.
Yes.
The fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
According to the revelation, the mystery gives me a different perspective about all of that. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I then have the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What's third in my inventory? It's in the next verse. Scripture of the prophets. See it?
Yeah.
My lowest priority item is what? What most people make their number one priority item.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you see it in verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to be verse 25 established, stabilized, I'm going to have these items in inventory.
Yeah.
I'm going to know their prioritization. I'm going to know the difference between Christ according to prophecy and Christ according to my gospel.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is.
And that's simple.
Yes.
I like simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple works for me.
Yes.
That's kind of a loud yes there, dear. I used to keep track in the pulpit of inappropriate amens. When I'd say something that might be self-deprecating and somebody'd say, amen. Write that one down. Thou shalt not zing thyself and be amen. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul calls himself wretched. What do I know about the works of my flesh? I've just been studying them. They're wretched. Who delivers me from them? Well, the body of Christ does. So, the body of this death. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. What death is that? The death into which I've been immersed. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And made a new creature and walk now in newness of life. Apparently, it's doable.
Yes.
Right.
I'm reading it. Mm-hmm. I believe a guy got out of a boat and walked on water.
Yes.
That was Peter.
Yes.
I need to believe this part too.
Yes.
Exactly. I need to believe that by His grace and by His word working effectually in me and by His Spirit resident, I can do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, we see the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth him that it is, that every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart. That is a proactive step that you take.
Yes.
You choose to depart. When you have choices to make, iniquity has to be stricken from the list.
Yeah.
I was just reading in Sports Illustrated, Tank Johnson, football player, had been picked up on gun charges. Mm-hmm. He, after suspension, is allowed to play football. But no guns. Somebody is attacking Tank Johnson's mama.
Yep.
She still lives in the hood. Rough. Mm-hmm. Tank's at a gun store. And Tank is going to buy a gun to protect his mom. He calls the commissioner of the NFL and says, I want you to know what I'm doing and why. I'm buying a gun. I know I can't, but I am anyhow to protect mama.
Yeah.
the commissioner of the NFL says, then your football days are over. You'll never tie on another pair of cleats. You're done forever. Hank Johnson is mad. They're messing with his mom. He is hot. I won't use the word he, because he's hot. But he doesn't buy the gun. By the time he gets home, the commissioner of the NFL has guards at Mama's house. Hank could have done that. We have choices we can make.
Yes.
Simple, practical choices.
Yes.
If he buys a gun and shoots somebody, who's going to fall? He's protecting his mom. There was another way.
Yeah.
This guy makes $6 million. He could have afforded a couple of guys.
Yes, he could have.
He could have uniforms. He should be out there in front of the house. He could have moved Mama to a different neighborhood.
Yes, he could have.
You could have gotten Mama out of the hood, right?
Yeah.
So, it's just a silly illustration comes to mind because I just read the day before yesterday when I was cooling my heels on the Holiday Inn, having nothing to do and nowhere to go, and I read everything there was to read, including the wallpaper. But we can make choices.
Yeah.
Proactive decision making.
Yeah.
I kind of think Ben Roethlisberger can line up the bimbos and have them take a number. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to do it in the public in front of everybody.
Right.
Right.
These guys get drunk in Cincinnati and drive home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take a cab.
Hire a driver.
Have a limo waiting out front to make it seem like a bigger deal. Yeah, it's just. And you and I, we've never been stupid.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's less now than it used to be.
Exactly.
So I need to learn what God has said about me and my capabilities as a member of the body of Christ, and I need to act like that.
Yes. Right?
Reminded of David with a bony finger stuck in his face and said, "Thou art the man." Oh, the buck stops where. So it then becomes important. And in Romans chapter 6, I love verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, particularly the dead reckoning part of that. Reckon yourself indeed dead. Easier said than done. The verse then in Galatians chapter 5 goes on and mentions affections and lusts, which covers a lot of territory, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mercy. And a lot of that territory of the things that we can have affections for and lust after can be things that aren't of a sinful nature. Unless, of course, you realize that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And you take up all your doing good time with all this stuff that isn't really doing anything.
Yeah.
I have a preacher friend in Warren, Michigan, who has some of the most ornate electric trains in his basement that I've ever seen in my entire life. It's bigger than this room, and it'd be as big as these two rooms combined.
Yeah.
It's his train set.
Yeah.
And he's got little trees and little people and little cars and little houses and little bridges. And he says over dinner, "I sure wish I knew the Bible what you do, brother." And I bit my tongue.
Yeah,
I didn't say, "I ain't got no train." I didn't. I was a good boy.
You were. You were me.
I was a good boy. And I looked at that, and yeah, the workmanship was amazing. Grass and mulch, you know. It was, as far as I'm concerned, kind of pointless.
Yes.
I had trains once and I outgrew them. Hopefully, I won't go back. I'm getting older. Maybe, you know, you get your second childhood, trains will seem more attractive to me again here shortly. I don't know. But You can be affectionate and lustful about things that no one's going to say there's a problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, toy trains.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, it's undermining your doing what you ought to be doing and setting your affections on things above Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. It was said of Wesley, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. And he's one of the greatest men,
yes,
preachers and teachers, and changed the face of whole sections of this country.
Yes.
So, when I make choices that are counter what might be my fleshly desires, then that's pounding nails in the crucifying the old flesh and the old man.
Yes.
I don't want to get so esoteric and mystical and misty-eyed and, you know, have a moment here. It's a practical thing. It's a normal thing. It's an easy thing. And it's there are other choices. I don't have to do what looks like my only choice is.
Yes.
So you get your Sports Illustrated and read about a guy making a choice.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got some help. Mm-hmm. I need help. You need help. We don't have $6 million like the football player. We don't have the NFL looking out for us. We need this book resident in us to work effectually in us, to allow us with its power to discern both good and evil.
Yeah.
I don't know of another resource I can go to. I trust her, I trust you, but I don't know about trusting you for what this can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This concept leads toward a level of mysticism with which I've never been comfortable. Maxwell wrote a book, Not I, But Christ. Tozer wrote a book, The Old Cross and the New. That's more of a booklet. And Watchman Nee wrote The Normal Christian Life. And they all have good things to say. And they all make valid points. It's in the doing of it that I get fuzzy when I read these kinds of materials, because it's kind of like it happens by you morphing, coming out of your chrysalis as a butterfly. And
mm-hmm.
Honey, I ain't no butterfly. I wasn't no chrysalis. Mm-hmm. Sinner, saved, needing to learn how to walk in newness of life. I need the practical hands-on, and I get that from my Bible. I know this, and am I so simple-minded, am I not? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Not deep. I get the data from the Word of God. I get the faith from the Word of God. I get what to have faith in from the Word of God.
Yes.
Then Colossians 2:6 says, as you receive Christ, so walk. Okay. Mm-hmm. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
My walk comes by hearing by the Word of God.
Yeah.
I need to learn it from God's truth.
Yeah.
I need to learn it from the Word of Truth as identified in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 2:6 says, my walk operates in the same way. Yes, it's faith. But it's not faith in faith.
That's right.
It's faith in doctrine.
Yes.
Precedent in a book that I can read, access, rightly divide, and operate according to. I can install an inventory in my inner man. That's a good thing for me to know. I have pointed out to you so many times, your Bible is probably wearing thin at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, that the worthy walk is a product of knowing something. The old joke is, Lord, give me patience, and I want it right now. And then the people say, ha, 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 because tribulation was your patience, the patience experience, so you get patience by tribulation, ha ha ha, fooled you. Well, I know the Word has to work effectually in me.
Yes.
I know the worthy walk is a product of Bible doctrine and Bible truth.
Yes.
I know that if I get myself in the way of God's truth and give it room and set my affections on things above as best I'm able and reckon the old man dead as best I'm able, that the best I'm able will improve over time. When Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, as much as I am able, that tells me that Paul had a gradient. As much as he was able in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, was less than he would be able in Titus chapter 2. Because years had gone by and he'd grown. So he continued to do the best, but his ability got greater. He's in training. The word's working. Similarly, so should we. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, it's possible to get esoteric and close your eyes and wave your hands at the ceiling and get, oh, how I love Jesus, and think that this is an emotional, evocative sort of thing. The truth of the matter is that while geography has me in my flesh, the Bible tells me that I'm joined to the Lord and that I'm complete in Him.
Yes.
And I need to learn that because it is not experiential. Holy Ghost goosebumps usually mean the air conditioner is running too hard. Mm-hmm. You remember the boy at the missions conference?
Oh, yeah.
It was a Charity Baptist Church. It was at North Fairfield Drive on the right-hand side of the road. It's the old German Baptist Church, and it's now at Craig Union right there.
Yeah.
A missions conference. And missionaries from all around, and they were associated with Homer Smith and Word for the World in Rossville, Georgia. They had their booths put up, and there'd be a booth for the Philippines, and there'd be a booth for the Andes, and there'd be a booth for this, and there'd be a booth for that. And one of the young men was, oh, I feel the call. Oh, I feel the call. Well, I don't know if he felt the call or he wanted to get away from mom and dad or just what the deal was, but he was determined. He would stand in front of each of the booths until something happened. And then he'd know that's where he's to go. So there were booths down in the basement, remember? There were booths upstairs in the lobby, and there were some booths in the back of the auditorium. Must have been 25 booths in the place, showing all these different places. Oh, they'll have currency, or they'll have a piece of native dress, or some of this kind of stuff. And this kid, he's going from booth to booth, and booth to booth. And finally, China. Mm-hmm. He was standing on a heating mat.
Yeah. Burns kicked on.
Burns kicked on. He felt warm all over.
Oh my.
True story.
Yeah.
You need to have more going for you.
Yes.
I just don't know when to quit tonight. Have you noticed every mission conference you've ever been to will have a map of the world? And then here will be this missionary and this missionary and this missionary and this missionary. And they all have a line with yarn to where they're going.
Yeah.
You notice nobody's going to Greenland or Iceland. They're all going to
Ecuador.
They're all going to warm. God's only calling missionaries to warm places. All right, we'll quit there. I'm traveling on. I must be tired. It's been a wonderful week. It's been a lousy week.
Oh,
it's been Dickens, the best of times.